Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger, and so glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDPLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Some of you tuned me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. And others have tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others of you have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 11 o'clock. And some of you listening by the way of Sermon Cloud. And one of the ways to get to Sermon Cloud is through my website, which is PastorKenHarger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse, scroll down to Sermon Cloud, and click there. And it takes you to my storage place where I have about 25 to 30 messages waiting to be listened to. Another way in my Saturday devotion as a public figure on Facebook, on a Saturday devotion, I always put a link to the storage place as well. So whatever way you tuned us in, I'm so glad that you're joining us this morning. And I need to just take a few moments and say thank you to those that take care of the financial costs of our broadcast time together. So a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family, and they're from the Sheridan area. A big thank you to Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave. She's from the Greenville area. A big thank you to Maria Vard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. She is from Dayton, Tennessee, but now she's up here for about a month or two, and so she's enjoying that very much. And to Court Warner, Premium Truck and Auto, located east of Belding on M44 on the north side of the road. A big thank you to KN's Kingsinger for selecting the music for this morning. And I always like to give an invitation to attend the church at Shiloh Community and in the Orleans campus or at Shiloh. The Saturday night evening service begins at 6:30. Sunday morning, we have a 9 o'clock service. We have a contemporary service at 10:45. And then in our campus in Greenville at the Old Lutheran Church, located on M91 north of Greenville by the McDonald's, at Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So whatever way you joined us, I'm just so glad that you've tuned us in this morning, and we're just looking forward to share our message as we continue our study of the book of James, and I know we're on lesson number 5, or study number 5. Most of the time I tell you I'm coming to you from the Lighthouse, excuse me, but this morning I'm coming to you from Spring Green, Wisconsin. My wife and I decided to go see our children. We have our daughter that lives in one part of Wisconsin, and our son lives in another part of Wisconsin. We're at our son's home now, and he pastors a church here in Spring Green. And so we're looking forward to being with him today as he shares the message, and then we'll be heading on our way home. But we're looking forward to sharing the message with you this morning. But in order to get started, I think we have to just have a song. And this song is saying, "Since Jesus spoke peace to me." And Jesus has spoke peace to me, and I trust he has spoke that peace to you. And we want to learn some things from the message that will help us tremendously. But before we do, let's listen into this song that gives us the joy in our heart of the salvation we have in the Lord Jesus.
What a wonderful feeling, heaven's glory revealing, since Jesus took my burden away. Now I never am lonely, guided by my Lord only. I'm walking in his presence each day. Since the Savior spoke sweet peace to me, gift of boundless life he did impart, and the mercy saved my dying soul and set me free. And now I'll faithfully be along the journey that's leading to that beautiful home just over the way. I started to glory, I am telling a story, since Jesus took my burden away.
trusting him ever. He will leave me no never. I'm walking in his presence each day.
Oh, what a
wonderful feeling in my heart.
Since Christ the
Savior spoke sweet peace to me, gift of marvelous life he did impart,
and mercy saved
my dying soul and set me free.
And now
I will be faithful on the journey
that's leading
to that beautiful home just stowed away.
Oh,
what a wonderful feeling every day.
Since Jesus,
since he spoke sweet peace to me.
Well, that sure is good. A wonderful peace that Jesus has given me in my heart. And I have the opportunity to share that peace as I learn the ways that God wants me to live. And the book of James has been a book telling us the practical things of everyday Christianity. It's the idea of just rolling up our sleeves and getting busy for God and listening to what he has to say and putting it to practice. And we're coming down to this area now where he's going to tell us about wisdom that comes from above. And we all think we got some wisdom within us, and we all think we got some wisdom from the things we've accumulated within the world as far as the knowledge and so on that we have. And sometimes we let God's wisdom go along the side. But I'm going to show you this morning the importance of God's wisdom leading our life and how it's going to lead our life in a wonderful way. And before we do, though, we just need to have a word of prayer. And I want to pray again this morning for the listening audience that God's special blessing would be upon each and every one of you that's tuned me in this morning, that he just might meet whatever need you have. So let's just bow for a moment. Father, once again, we come into your presence. We do so, Father, because you've given us an open invitation to seek your face at any time, under any circumstances. And one of the things that you tell us as we come into your presence that we have the privilege of doing is to bear one another's burdens. So, Father, I want to bear the burdens of the listening audience this morning. Whatever they're going through as an individual, I want to feel for that. I want to bring that to your attention, Father, and ask your special blessing to be upon each person in a special way, not only upon them, but upon their family members as well. So, Father, right now I want to pray for those that's going through some low time, because maybe it's a physically low time. They're just going through some difficulties physically, and they're waiting for some answers, and some have just found out they have cancer, and others is finding out whether the cancer treatments has been working or not. So whatever they're going through physically, I ask your blessing to be upon the listening audience. And then, Father, for those that's going through some difficult things because it's been a death of a loved one, they're going through what we call the grieving process. And, Father, that's a very difficult time in their lives, giving up someone they've known and loved and shared so much of life with. So, Father, I pray that you would just be their comfort this morning. Others need some direction, Father, to know what to do. They're kind of in a turmoil time. They're going through a kind of a high and low experience in their life. And Father, we just need to have you give them some sense of direction. You tell us when we acknowledge you, you will direct our path. And so, Father, I pray for the directions, and I pray for other hurts there is within the family unit. Sometimes children not getting along or going through a divorce or whatever else is happening in the family unit. I ask your special blessing to be upon each family that has tuned us in this morning, that you would minister to their family in a very special way. Now, Father, come and honor your word. Show us and teach us, Father, the things we need to know in order to do the job that you want us to do. But even more than that, in order to live the life the way you want us to live. And I'll thank you and praise you for that in the wonderful name of Jesus and for his sake, with thanksgiving. Amen. Well, wisdom that is from above. One of the statements that I found called it true wisdom. James speaks that true wisdom comes from God and is active, and that God teaches us in the Bible about becoming wise and understanding people. as his children. And one of the wisest people that ever lived was a man by the name of King Solomon. And you know what King Solomon asked God for? When God said, I'll do anything you want me to do for you. I don't know if he dared to say that to you and I today or not. I'll do anything you want me to do, was Solomon. And Solomon says, you know, I'm going to be the king of your people. And I need some wisdom to know how to lead them. So I want to ask for wisdom. Listen to what he says. It was at a little town of Gibeon. The Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to my servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and gave him a son to sit on the throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you have made your servant a king in the place of my father David. But I'm only a young little child. I'm just very young. I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people that you have chosen, a great people, too numerous even to count the number of them. So give your servant a discerning heart. Give me wisdom, your people, and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Now listen to what it says next, folks. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God said to him, since you have not asked for this and not for long life or for wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for death of your enemies, but the discernment in administrating justice, I'll do what you have asked, and I'll give you a wise, discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, or there will never be anyone like you after you. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for. I will give you both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among all the kings that there may be. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commandments as David your father did, I'll give you long life. Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream. But what a blessing in his life. What a blessing before God to be asking something that really pleases God. Because, you know, so often today we probably would ask for long life, or we probably would ask for riches. Probably would ask for things like that. And David says, you know, I mean, Solomon says, you know, I've watched my father lead, but you know what? These are great people. And they're your people, God. So I want to lead them, but I need some wisdom from you, is what he's asking. Solomon asked God to give him the discerning heart to govern the people and to distinguish between right and wrong. The Lord was pleased with that, and I love this word. Moreover, beyond what you have asked, I'll give you what you have not asked for, but I'm going to bless you with it anyway. You know, that's a promise to all of us. There's a portion of Scripture in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 3. God is able to bless us in ways we could never imagine. Listen to what he says. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or all that we think, according to the power of God that worketh in each one of us. God's saying, I want you to understand. You come to me in prayer and ask for me and ask for things from me, I can give you above and beyond. You know what? He's given us an evidence of that, that he's can give beyond, because what he's given to Solomon. King Solomon is going to be blessed with wealth like he never dreamed he could have. He's going to have a nation like he never dreamed he would have. And God is going to do that. That's wisdom that's going to come from above. And as we think about this wisdom and the fact that God was so pleased with it, then later on, Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. And one of the Proverbs that I've always liked is Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or information or wisdom. But he goes on to say, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God for that, is what he's telling us. You know, I believe he's saying, you know what? A fool despises wisdom and discipline. It's a foolish person, he says, that don't want to be told, maybe of a better way. maybe of some things that he could do differently and accomplish some what's more. I believe the whole emphasis of the Bible is on the idea of the fear of the Lord. Making your heart right before him. Having God at the proper place in your life. Not only at the proper place in your life, but your attitude towards him. That he is high and he is lifted up and we stand in awe of him. And when we ask him, we know that this blessing that he wants to give to us is going to be the best thing possible for us. True wisdom that is from God needs to be asked for. He's telling us that's what he wants us to do. Listen to what it says. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Ask God for wisdom. Trying to figure out something in your life, ask God. Don't ask all your friends and all of your neighbors and all of the past wisdom that you've had. Ask God. Give me some direction, God. In it. That's why I like my Bible verse for life. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And that's what God is saying. If you lack wisdom, you should ask God. Now listen to what he says. Who gives generously to all without finding fault? God will give generously to you, and besides that, he will not find fault. And it'll be given to you. This wisdom, what you're asking for, will be given. I'm often reminding myself that we need to say, that I need to say to myself, you have not, because you ask not. Ask, and you shall receive. That's a teaching of the Word of God. But you don't have it because you don't ask for it. But then God reminds us as he moves on in his word that you and I need to know that there's a way that we can ask that is right and there's a way that we can ask that is wrong. Along with asking the Lord for this wisdom, we must show wisdom by how we live our individual lives. We must show that we are living by God's wisdom. We must show that God's wisdom is active in our life. If you are wise in understanding God's ways, prove it. How do you prove it? By living an honorable life. That's how you prove that your wisdom is coming from God. You live an honorable life. You by doing good works. And when you do your good works, you do it with humility. That comes from, guess where? Wisdom. Because you know this is from God. And you know that God is at work within your heart and life. And he's bringing about what God wants to bring about in our own individual lives. This whole book of James is trying to get us to see it's a book about teaching us about faith and works. And that faith and works needs to work together. And just as faith without works is meaninglessness, so then wisdom that does not show itself in good deeds and good character, it's worthless, he says. An honorable life can be translated as a beautiful lifestyle. Notice that we demonstrate wisdom by the way we live and by the way we act out of humility, being so grateful that God has given us this wisdom to be able to use in our everyday individual life. Humility is not weakness, but humility is actually means it's strength under control. It's God giving us strength to do beyond ourselves because it's wisdom that's coming from him. I love the description of that wisdom from the Lord, which is wisdom from above. Listen to what it says in James chapter 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above, coming down from God, the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peaceable. It is loving. It is gentle at all times. And it's willing to yield to others. This wisdom that comes down from God is full of mercy. It's full of good deeds. You're doing good works as a result of it. This wisdom that comes down from God shows no favoritism. And it's always sincere, which means real. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of righteousness. And as a result, you harvest a harvest of righteousness. From me, just understand that he's saying, it's a beautiful thing to have wisdom that's coming down from the Father above. I came across in my devotional studies and my devotions on Facebook, I came across a statement that says, wisdom from above for living down here below. Wisdom from above for living down here below. How are you living your life today? How has it gone last week? You know, folks, if we just go by the wisdom we know and understand, it's going to lead us into some times of destruction. We're going to talk about that next. This wisdom, this true wisdom that comes down from God, we notice that it is an idea that it produces something. This wisdom that comes from God is first pure. He said, this is true wisdom. Pure means it's true. There's no hypocrisy in it. It's true wisdom. Not only is it true wisdom, but he says, you know what? This is something that shows us that it's in close connection to what the Spirit of God does in each one of our lives. As the pure Spirit of God goes to work, you know what it's called? It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to tie those two together. I believe there is, when the words that he uses to describe it, such as peace, loving, gentle, mercy, good deeds, sincere, peacemakers, the idea is that's what the fruit of the Spirit wants to produce in our life. God is saying, the wisdom that I'll send down to you is wisdom that has these kind of things in it. So let's just talk about each one of these for just a few moments, then we'll listen to a song. Pure. This is the first quality that James lists, but it's more than just the first one on the list. It's the essential of our character of godly wisdom. It's got to be some pureness to it. There's going to be some realness to it. And then he said it's peace and love. Wisdom from above is pure. It's also peace-loving. Purity speaks of one relationship with God, and peace-loving characterizes our ability to get along with others. So God's saying, I want to give you wisdom to know how to get along with other people within your family, within your friendship circles. I want to give you some wisdom to know how to do that. And that's what he teaches us through the entire Bible. It's submissive. Are you willing to yield to others? Or there's a need in your life to always be right and always have things go your way? If that's the way it is, you see, that's not the mercy that comes from above, because the mercy that comes from above says, I'm willing to listen to others. I'm willing to cooperate with others. Listen to what he says. It is full of mercy. Are you compassionate with those who are hurting you? Do you look for practical ways to be a help of somebody else that is hurting? God is saying, that's the kind of wisdom I want to teach you. That's what I want you to occupy the time of your life with. It's good fruit. Are you producing the fruit of harvest that brings blessing and spiritualness to people's lives? Are you treating people the same way you want to be treated? Or are you showing favoritism? Sincere, is it real? Are you real? Are you really living the way God wants you to live? Or is there a little bit of hypocrisy in your life? The fruit of the Spirit, he tells us, is the same thing. Listen to what the fruit of the Spirit is. And you know, folks, I need to say this morning. It is not the fruits of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It's singular. You know, sometimes what people do is say, well, I have peace, but I'm not a very loving person. Or I have goodness, but I'm not very patient. Now listen, I just want to read to you what the fruit of the Spirit is. And you got to think of this as one fruit. I got a tree in front of me on my piece of paper. And a tree is producing this fruit. It's like an apple tree. An apple tree can only produce apples. It can only produce apples, not peaches. A peach tree will produce peaches, not apples. So here's this fruit tree in front of me, and it says, the fruit of this Spirit of God is this, peace, patience, kindness, joy, love, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. That's the fruit. Those aren't different fruits. It's one fruit. It's one fruit that God wants to produce in your life, and it's one fruit that God wants to produce in my life as an individual. And God is saying, that's the kind of wisdom I have given to you from above. And I've tied it all together to let you know that it is the fruit that I'm looking for in your life. Now, there's a contrary wisdom, which we're going to deal with next. But before we do, I want us to listen to a song. This song is telling us, you know what? You and I got to do in our life in order to have the benefit of these things we're talking about this morning. He's saying what we really got to do is we got to dig a little deeper. We got to dig a little deeper into our spirituality.
I want to dig.
Here we go. Let's listen in.
Dig a little deeper. I want to dig. Dig. Dig a little deeper. I want to dig. 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 Dig a little deeper. I want to dig. 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 Dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper in his love. I want to dig a little deeper in his love. Dig a little deeper in his love. I want to dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love. Of his love, well, I want to walk a little more like what Jesus would. I want to talk a little more like I know I should. I want to dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love. Nearer to thee, nearer to thee. I want to be, I want to be. Well, I want to dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love. Of his love, let my light shine. Let my light shine in love divine. In love divine. Well, I wanna dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love. Of his love.
Well, I wanna
dig a little deeper in his love.
I wanna
dig a little deeper in his love.
I wanna
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love. Of his love.
Lord, I wanna
walk a little more like what Jesus would. I wanna talk a little more. Christian should.
I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love. I want to dig, dig, dig a little deeper. I want to dig, dig, dig a little deeper. I want to dig, dig, dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper in his love. I want to dig a little deeper in his love. Dig a little deeper in his love. I want to dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love. Of his love. Well, I want to walk a little more like what Jesus would. I want to talk a little more like I know I should. I want to dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love.
Well, I want to
dig a little deeper in his love.
I want to
dig a little deeper in his love.
I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love. Of his love, well, I want to walk a little more like what Jesus would.
Yes, I want to
talk a little more like a Christian should.
Lord, I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love.
Well, I want to
dig a little deeper in his love. Dig a little deeper in his love. Dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love, of his love.
Well, I want to
walk a little more like Jesus would. Talk a little more like a Christian should. Dig a little deeper in the storehouse.
I want to
dig a little deeper in the storehouse.
Yeah.
Dig a little deeper in the storehouse of his love, of his love.
Dig, dig, dig a little deeper. 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 Dig, 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 dig a little deeper. 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 Dig, dig, dig a little deeper.
Well, folks, what do you think? That song's going to stick with you all afternoon. You want to dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper. You know what he's saying to us this morning? You know, God's saying, I've got wisdom that comes from above, and this wisdom that comes from above is going to add a beautiful dimension to your life. But you're living in a world You're down there on planet Earth, and there's a lot of wisdom on planet Earth. But the wisdom that on planet Earth is not always the wisdom that comes from above. So he's going to deal with that. I got to tell you why he deals with that. Because if we don't continue to walk in the wisdom that is from above, remember we talked about Solomon, he asked God for wisdom. And God was so pleased that he asked for wisdom. And you know, Solomon used that wisdom and he walked in that wisdom a lot of his life. But there came a time when pretty soon he was listening to the wisdom of the world around him. His society, what people thought in his day and age, what other kings thought, what was happening in the social media of the life of that particular period of time. And all of a sudden, that wisdom that was so good was corrupted by his selfish ambition. And sometimes that can happen to us as we journey our life. For he gives us a description then of the wisdom that we hear every day, the wisdom that's a part of people you meet with every day. For jealousies and selfishness are not the kind of wisdom that God gives. Such things, he says, as jealousy and selfishness are things of the earth, unspiritual, and even demonic. For where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find discord and evil of every kind. He's reminding us there's wisdom that comes from below, the wisdom that comes from the world that we live in, wisdom that comes and says, you can do this and you can do this. He even says it's demonic. In other words, it's unspiritual. I understand the Greek word, what I understand about the Greek word, and I don't know Greek language, but this word describes animals that are only concerned about survival. And demonic has to do with the devil, and that's a strong language. That's what he talked about when we talked about the tongue. It was the idea that it starts out in the fires of hell, he says. Wisdom from below, just like wisdom from above, it has fruits that it'll produce. And God's talked about the fruits of peace and joy and those kinds of things. But he says wisdom that is worldly wisdom leads to some pretty foul fruit coming, folks, such as envy and selfishness, selfish ambitions. This will lead to discord and every evil practice that can be done on the human earth. Wisdom from below comes from reason, and wisdom from above comes from God and the teaching of his words. I go back to what I shared at the beginning of our time together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If we turn God off and we don't listen to his word and we set God aside and we say, well, I'm just going to use my idea. The idea is we would be foolish to leave God out. The idea is that we would be foolish to leave such wisdom out of our life that God wants to teach us so that we'll be a person that has a sense of some righteousness coming from our life, of being a help to other people. Where there is jealousy and selfish ambitions, there you'll find every kind of disorder and every kind of evil. This is not the kind of wisdom God wants for you. It's not the kind of wisdom that God wants for me. There's a story that I really love. But the story shows us that sometimes in our human thinking, even of a child, we can think that this is our concept of who God is. It says the children were all lined up in the cafeteria. It was a religious school for lunch. At the head of the table was a large pile of apples. The teacher had made a note. Take only one apple. God is watching. At the other end of the table, there was a large pile of chocolate chip cookies. And a boy wrote this note. Take all you want. God is watching the apples. I'm afraid that's the way many times we think. We're trying to combine the two wisdoms together and live our life on planet Earth. But sometimes we come to the point where we just live our lives on planet Earth with the wisdom of planet Earth. And God is saying, if you want some wisdom that comes from above, you got to ask for it. You got to ask for it. You know, folks, the scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs, even a child is known by his doings, by the things he does. This child didn't totally understand that if God can see the apples, he also can see the cookies. But it's like I take care of this and then this don't matter. And that's trying to take to live the Christian life with the wisdom that is from below, and at the same time wanting some of that wisdom that is from above, but then setting it aside as we continue on into our life. You know what God's wisdom wants us to do? God's wisdom really wants us to draw near to him. We want to be near to God. When that digging in a little deeper, I want to walk the way Jesus walks. I want to talk the way Jesus talks. I want to be closer to him. He goes on in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He asks this question. What causes the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come because of evil desires that war within you? He said, you got a battle going on inside of you. You want what you don't have, so you scheme to get it, and some would even kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and you wage a war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want. Why? Because you don't ask God for it. You try to do it in your own wisdom or the wisdom of the world, the way the world would respond. That's the way you try to respond, he's saying, and that's not going to work. We use improper methods to gain what we want if it's in wisdom from above. There's a war going on inside of us. We trust our own skills and our own strength. But God is saying you need to ask me for it. You need to be motivated for service that is not selfish, that is not just for envy or pleasure. You don't ask God for it. You're going to try your own methods of wisdom. And even when you ask God, you don't do it because your motives are wrong. When you want only what you want to give pleasures. You know what he says? You're adulterers. He says, you're not faithful to me, God is saying. If you're knowing me and wanting to walk with me, and you ask me for wisdom, but then all of a sudden you start conducting your life by the wisdom that is down below, the wisdom that comes from the world is thinking, he said, don't you understand? You've broken your relationship with me. Because when you're having friends with the thoughts of the world and trying to live the way I'm trying to teach you to live, all of a sudden you can become the very enemy of God, he's saying. James gives a clear indication that even some of our prayers get hindered. The object of the request has to be to glorify God and his kingdom. God speaks about unfaithfulness to him. And he said, an unfaithfulness is when you're trying to live your life for me, with me, and you're trying to live it the way the world lives. He said, they're opposite of one another. One is organized by confusion and jealousy and disorder and all that kind of stuff. What I'm wanting for your life is peace and gentleness and able to work with one another and full of mercy and not showing favoritism. That's what I want to see for you. That's what I want to produce within you. So he's telling us wisdom that comes from him is going to really benefit our life. But just like Solomon in days of old, it really messes up our life. If we try to live for God the way the world lives, out of jealousy and selfishness and not thinking of others, not wanting gentleness and peace, wisdom's a principal thing in your life and mine. And you know what he's saying? For this wisdom, you need to get understanding. And understanding that it is displeasing to God for us as his children to live according to the world, and not according to things that he's taught us. That creates some difficulty in our life. I want to just kind of deal with in the last few verses of the book of James. Verses 5 and 6 of the book of James. Listen to what he says. What do you think? Do you think the scripture means when they say that the Spirit of God is placed within you is full of envy? but he gives us even more grace to understand such evil desires. As the scripture says, now listen carefully, here's where it's all wrapped up in. God opposes the proud, but he favors the humble. I don't want God to be in opposition with me. He favors me when I'm humble. When I'm trying to walk in my own understanding, I go back to my verse that's been my life verse. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Lean not unto your own understanding. You know what, folks? God does it different than the world system. God motivated out of love and peace and gentleness and joy and happiness and cooperation with one another. The world isn't formed like that. The world isn't built like that. The world wants to do it differently. The things that come from wisdom from above is that God gives us grace to stand against the evil desires of the wisdom that is below. Draw near to Jesus. Draw near to the work that Jesus did to bring us to him. I believe when we think of all Jesus went through to bring us the grace of God, it's very humbling. Think Jesus did that just for me. He did it for my life. I want to know, what does he want me to do? I want to know, how does he want me to behave? Does he want me to go through life being a jealous person? Does he want me to go through life being an argumentative person? He said that comes from worldly wisdom. That comes from the human element in life. I've got something better than that for you, God is saying. I got something that comes right down from me. And it's peace and gentleness and love and those kinds of things. It's going to benefit your life. So you know what he's saying? That makes you to humble yourself. You humble yourself with a realization that Jesus died for you. He did that if you was the only person on planet Earth. He would have died just for you. Then he said, now what I want you to do is as you try to live on planet Earth, I know it's going to be hard, but my son did it. As you try to live on planet Earth, he's saying, I want you to live according to my ways of thinking, not the world's ways of thinking. I want you to have the attitudes that I want to give you, not the attitudes that the world might give to you. Do you realize this is not just a simple little saying, do unto others as you would have others do unto you? That comes from God. That doesn't come from the world system. The world system might say something like, do it to others before they do it to you. There might be many different philosophies of things that come from that. Listen to what he says in the book of James, chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. So humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. And realize that a lot of the thinking and the philosophies of the world comes from the devil. So he said, humble yourself before God. Resist the devil. Resist doing the things he wants you to do. Resist living the way he wants you to live, and he will flee from you, he said. Come close to God, come close to God, and he will come close to you. You know what I believe and I teach? You take one step towards God, he'll take two steps towards you. He wants you to be close to him. He wants to be close to you. He said, then wash your hands, you sinners. Don't do bad and evil things. Don't be hurting one another. There's so much hurt in our world today. So much pain in our world today. And so much of that pain has been caused by others. So much of the pain that people are dealing with. There's enough pain in the world just due to physical things of pain as growing older and so on. But then we all carry the pain of being wounded by other people, being hurt by other people saying things. He said, wash your hands from hurting other people. He goes on to say, purify your heart. Think this through from the heart. Think of it from the heart, from your innermost being, not from your head, but from the heart. For your loyalty is divided, he says, between God and the world. That's the way it is. Every one of us is divided between God and the world. We live in a world that its philosophies and teachings carry over very strong to us. I like the way he says it. You know what? We got to get so concerned about this. Listen to what he says. Let there be tears for what you have done. Have some grief and sorrow in your heart for the way you've acted in the past. Not only that, the things you've done in the past. Let there be sorrow and let there be deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter. Have you noticed the world's philosophy is to laugh through everything? He says, let there be some sadness in your life. Let grieving process do something. And gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord. And listen to this. It's a promise from God. He will lift you up. He will lift you above what you're capable of producing yourself. You know what happened to Solomon as he listened to the philosophies of his age? What happened? It took Solomon down, not up. The things that he had asked God for and the wisdom that God gave to him was taking him up. It was making him a king like none other kings. But when he started to listen to the philosophy of the world of his day and age, it took him downhill. It was a downward spiral. God's saying, that's the way it is. It happens in your life and in my life as well, so we need to humble ourselves before God. Let him lift us up. There's a two different reasonings, the two different fruits that are produced. In walking the way God's telling us to walk, he said, it'll lift you up. It'll lift your life up. It'll lift your family up. It'll lift people around you. You'll be a benefit to others. But if you're going to walk the way the world wants to walk, they walk over one another, folks. They disrespect one another. They don't hold honor and glory and those kinds of things at a very high level. As we do it, it will cause us to acknowledge our sin before God, and tears will flow, and we'll realize, hey, I have done some terrible things in my life, and God wants me, and he still wants me, and he wants me to be a whole lot better person than I ever could be myself. I want to share that one of my favorite places for me for this kind of a work is to get alone with God. You know, I believe sometimes what's causing so much of our thinking to be the thinking of the world, our actions to be the actions and reactions of the world, is we need some alone time with him. You know, I bought a cabin 29 years ago up in the Kalkaska area. And all my years of preaching, I just loved being at that cabin. I have electricity now, but at first I didn't have electricity. Just the last 8-9 years we've had electricity. I still have a pitcher pump. I still have an outhouse. And you know something? Sometimes I just love going up. I love the idea of electricity. Makes the refrigerator work a lot nicer than the gas refrigerator did. But you know something, folks? Of the cabinets up there, 5 of us in that area, way off the road, about a half mile back in the woods, nobody has a mercury light. And I just love going up there. I just love going up there on a moonlit night when the sky is full of stars. I'll tell you, if you're living around any place where it's not remote like that, you haven't seen the stars near as close as they are when you set out under the stars where there's no lights around whatsoever. And I just love to sit there and let God show me his greatness. I learned this, and I don't know if it's true or not, but they said when Theodore Roosevelt was president of the United States, that he'd go out and sit underneath the stars. Then he'd call for somebody to come. He's in a wheelchair. He'd call for somebody to come and take him back. And he would respond, now that I've sat under the creation of God, I feel unworthy enough to be the president of the United States of America. All my 50 years of being a pastor, those 29 years, 20-some years, I owned a cabin. I love going up, sitting underneath the stars, and saying to God, now I feel unworthy enough to be the pastor of Shiloh Community Church. You know, folks, we need some of that in our life. You need to have a place where you can see. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Humble yourself before his greatness. The last thought, and I can't spend a lot of time on this because my time is disappearing. But you know, that just creates a struggle inside of us. That struggle is causing a whole lot of difficulty. The Apostle Paul was a Jewish man. He came to know Christ. And he struggled between the law and between the freedom that he had in Christ Jesus. And, you know, he talked about that struggle. He said, I want to do things and I end up not doing what I want to do. Stuff that I don't want to do, I end up doing that. And that's going to happen to us as we struggle between the wisdom from above and the wisdom from below. His final thought when he come to that, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ the Lord, he's going to be rescued. He's going to be delivered from that. I believe that conflict is the same way between you and I. We want to live the way God wants us to live. But there's such a tremendous pressure from within and from without that we have this conflict going on within us. I know this is what God says, but this is the way the world is living. And you know what? It takes some real courage for you and I to come to that place to say, I want to have some victory over this. I don't want to struggle the rest of my life. I want something to be accomplished through my life. I want some of what God is saying, peace, joy, love, gentleness, kindness, love for one another, and all those kinds of things. And the only thing that I can tell you is that Jesus Christ is the one that can deliver you. You know why he can do that? Because there's a portion of Scripture says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Even though he was equal with the Father, he was willing to become one of you and I, to live on this same planet as we're living on, and yet at the same time, to have victory over the world's philosophy and way of thinking. And God says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. It can benefit your life. It can benefit my life. And bring about the results that God would really want to bring about in each one of us in such a way that his blessing would come upon us. This is what we're going to listen to in this closing song. Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself in his sight. And the promise is God will lift you up. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. Tune us in next week. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Self in the sight of